Welcome to the podcast for the table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together a taste of the music that we experience here in worship on Sunday mornings, along with the scripture reading and a message. We would love for you to take a next step in growing in faith in our community. If that means you are here in Sacramento, to join us for worship at 9:30 or 11 in the morning at 5265 H Street, or if you're one of the many people who connects with our podcast from around other parts of the state or even the country, we would invite you to take a next step on our website by making a deep commitment to our community of faith or learning more about growing in faith at the table.
Tell me, how did you feel when you come out? When you come out? When you come out? Tell me, how did you feel when you come out? Lord. Oh, I feel like shouting when I come out.
Come out the wilderness.
When I come out.
Come out the wilderness.
When I come out.
Come out the wilderness.
And I feel like shouting when I come out.
Come out the wilderness.
Leaning. Oh, I'm leaning on the Lord.
This morning we're going to get our receive our scripture this morning from the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 31 to 34. And here begins the reading of God's word.
The day is on its way, it couldn't wait no more. Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Ready or not.
Ready or not.
The day is on its way, it couldn't wait no more. Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Ready or not.
Here it comes.
The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord.
The day is on its way, it couldn't wait no more. Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Ready or not.
Ready or not.
The day is on its way, it couldn't wait no more. Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Ready or not.
Here it comes.
But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more.
Day is on its way, it couldn't wait no more.
Here it comes,
ready or not. The day is on its way, it couldn't wait no more.
Here it comes,
ready or not.
Smile, Lord, Lord.
There must be more.
A number of years ago, a musical group called The Brilliance that was here during worship in Advent a couple of years ago, they wrote a song called Does Your Heart Break? And we've used that song the last couple of times we've gathered on Holy Friday. Holy Friday is the time that the global Christian church gathers in remembrance of Jesus' crucifixion, and we'll do that this year on March the 30th at 7 here in the sanctuary. And the song builds, and then it closes as the instruments come down, and just this pleading, vulnerable line to God. Does your heart break when our hearts break? And our community, or at least I have, but our community has been living in this song, it feels like to me, throughout this season of rehab, this season of Lent. And for me, it started, it hit me about 2 weeks ago. I was standing right here, and it was at the 9:30 worship service. And I hadn't noticed the person, but they came forward, and we were eye to eye. And she broke a piece of the bread. And it was one of those moments where it just lasts an instant, but the feeling of it stays with you for what feels like an eternity. And this was a person who is in the midst of a deep wilderness. Her closest friend, the person that's always there for her, has just entered into hospice. And so I could feel, and I'm supposed to be the pastor on the team who's the one that's in his head and doesn't go to that heart place. And the ache was like beyond words for me, and the tears started to rise, and I tried to send people out, but I didn't really have a whole lot other than just the truth of those tears. And hospice is a wilderness, if ever there was. And then on Monday of this week, I sat with a person whose vocation, their job, has been so much of who they are. It's the way that they reach and love in the world. And they have found that work life falling apart all around them. Systems that they thought would just always be there, people that were above them and below them and all of the different ways that they structure themselves are taking off, and that was turnover they couldn't imagine. And so their work has become this chaotic wilderness. And then I sat with a mom who thought that she and her family had moved to the other side of a wilderness with their child that has special needs. And over these last couple of weeks, last couple of months, what they found themselves in is in another wilderness of appointments and seemingly endless paperwork, and the promised land with that child with special needs now feels further away than they ever had imagined. And then on Wednesday, it went from other people's stories to like mine. And I showed up at our daughter's school just before 10, and with some other parents, checked her out. And they have a little reason, and the middle school kids were writing walk out. And I wrote, because our elected adults are not able to act in ways that are caring for our children. It didn't fit on the line, so I just kept writing. And then we walked outside with the other kids. And the middle schoolers at this little school led us in a time of 17 minutes of silence in remembrance of those 17 kids that were killed at the school in Florida. And our daughter like leaned back into me, and I held on to her as we looked on at like the innocence of that school that we all know is anything but innocent given the ways and the times that we're in. And so we held on to each other, and we held on to silence, and we just stared at that. And we weren't alone, thankfully. Some creative, phenomenal activists in D.C., gathered 14,000 pairs of children's shoes and placed them on the lawn to help us get it, to help us see. This is the number of children in the United States that have been killed by gun violence since Sandy Hook in 2012. And it wasn't just there. Students staged die-ins at various campuses. Right here in Sacramento at McClatchy, some young prophets rose up to tell us about the hurt and the fear that they're living in. And you see the desks that are right there. Elected officials joined these young people as they rose up. And in Elk Grove, they, on the minute, they would read the name of a young person that was killed and chime a bell and then just sit in the silence. On another campus, they turned their bodies into a physical peace sign. And yet another campus, staff and faculty, teachers, administrators, students worked together to turn their bodies into a sign that says no more. The students from the school in Florida who are facing this for the first time went up to Chicago and sat with students there who've been organizing around this for years, because this isn't a new truth for them. It's been with them for longer than we should ever have to acknowledge. One student just wrote on her hands, enough, like inscribed enough on her hands. And the people of God in Jeremiah's day, they too had had enough. Their hearts were aching and broken over and over and over again. Jeremiah lived some 600 years before Jesus lived and moved and has had his being, and it was a heartbreaking time for the people of God. They had been conquered by the Babylonians. The way of life that they had come to expect and know that was providing so much safety had been destroyed, and they had been driven into exile to try to create new systems and structures in the midst of that. And Jeremiah never wanted to be their leader. Like most prophets, he didn't want to step into a limelight. He had to speak truths that no one wanted to hear, like those young people are right now. They didn't imagine themselves on CNN at 16. And there they are, telling us hard truths. No one wants to be the one to have to do that, like the nurse that has to sit with a family and name that it is time for the family to accompany their loved one into hospice. Or the partner in the marriage who sits down to say what both people have known for a long time, the marriage that they imagined is not the marriage that they have, and they're in a wilderness. Or the teachers right now that are accompanying young students who are not going to get to sit next to the friend that used to sit by them at school anymore in the lunchroom. No one wants to be the one to deliver that kind of devastating news that disorients us and calls us into a wilderness. And Jeremiah was like all the rest of us, not wanting to be the one to name those truths. But the people of God had drifted so far from God's hope for them that Jeremiah had to name that the places we're heading were going to be destroyed, he told them, by folks from the north. Nobody wanted to hear this, especially not the king. The king was the one who was supposed to lead the people back into this glory moment. And what Jeremiah was saying to them was, no, that the way of this king is not the way that they're supposed to go. So the powers that be found all kinds of ways to smear Jeremiah, to tell the story as he attempted to warn the people. He would tell them over and over that we're going to be driven into exile, crushed. And the phrase that he would use is, the days are surely coming that this is going to happen. And no one wanted to hear those words, the days are surely coming. It's like the folks that are remembering back to Sandy Hook. No one wants to know that the days are surely coming, unless we deal with this stuff, that we're going to have another Sandy Hook, and another, and another. That's the same thing that Jeremiah was naming for the folks. And by the time we get to this morning's reading, we have had 30 chapters of Jeremiah naming for this for people. He's had to take a pot and like crush it in front of folks. He spent time in jail over and over. He's had to name for them the truth that they didn't want to see. And here in this moment in chapter 31, that verse, the days are surely coming, starts to take on a new meaning. Instead of judgment and devastation, instead of threat that it's been for 30 chapters, it now turns to a promise. The days are surely coming. Words of promise now spoken to a people who find themselves hurting in exile. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law within them. I'll write it on their hearts. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord." For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. To me, that's these ancient version of what Chance the Rapper is saying. The day is on its way. The day is on its way. It couldn't wait. Here it comes. Ready or not, here it comes. And in that moment, that threat and judgment turns to promise. We were right here, a number of us, about 30 of us, a few months ago. Corey Prahim and her former work partner had led for us a training called Safety First. And it was a training that when I was in seminary and then when we started this church, I never imagined that we would need to have a training like this. I didn't want to have the training like this. It was because people were naming it together that we need to figure out how do we ensure our community's safety given the truth of horrific acts of gun violence that we've experienced. And I didn't even want to say that out loud in this space. Corey had to come alongside me to even be able to say the word like active shooter. That is not something I was comfortable, I'm still not saying out loud because I know it sets people off and it's hard to hear. 30 of us gathered and what I wanted, Rick is this big dude, like huge, like this tall, a good 5 or 6 inches taller than me and like 70 more pounds of muscle. And his head is shaved. When he walks in the room, you know that this guy is like an undercover agent for someone. And if he's not, he should be, right? He's just huge. And what I wanted Rick to do was to tell me it's going to be okay. Here is your checklist. You hold this and you'll know the things to do when this happens. And instead, he said no. He said, there's no like plan that can help you. So what he said to do instead is, I want you to think about that one thing, that one person in your life that you give everything for. And for parents that have more than one kid, that's really hard to do. Because he said, not two things, one. Think of one thing, your reason for living. And when I say things like that, people think, oh, it's a pastor, yada, yada, yada. This is like a mixed martial arts trained dude that's telling us that's what matters. He says, when I'm in the moment of something horrific happening, the person I want with me is the mommy in the room who's holding her little baby right now. Not the person that's been trained by the military to do anything. Because it's that mommy that knows why she's living right now. And in our room, it was a literal mom. It was Empress holding her little baby. He said, that's who I want. Because she has written on her heart why she's alive, why it matters. And so I wonder this morning, like, what or who, who's written on your heart? A friend, a partner, a child, a parent. I don't know your reason, but we all need to know our reason. And it needs to be written on our hearts. In Jeremiah's day, the people of God were written on God's heart. All of them were written on God's heart. God's heart was aching as the people of God struggled to find their way in the wilderness. God's heart was breaking as they had wandered further and further away from being the beloved community that God longed for them to be. So God promises to meet them in the chaos of the wilderness that they're in and intervene by giving them another program to move them toward recovery and eventually to rehab. And this time, God writes God's promise on their hearts. So it's a mutual covenant. Their names are written on God's heart, and God writes on theirs as well. The law or the program that God has given the people is the Ten Commandments, and Chris shared about this in worship a few weeks ago. Now, though, this law, this program, is not written on tablets of stone, but on the hearts that are beating among God's people. And our children learn about this. They sit on the floor, and our storytellers that watch over them in love share a story in godly play. And we talk about the Ten Commandments in this community as the 10 best ways for the people of God to live. And you see some of the images right there. And so the kids see the first three ways are ways that we love God. And then there are six ways that we love our neighbors. And then right in the middle is this one where we love God and love our neighbor by keeping the Sabbath. We do both. It has implications in both ways. And so our kids see that, and then below, you see what happens when Jeremiah takes those that are written on stone and says, God is now writing them on our hearts. And the base or the foundation of it becomes God's love for the people of God. That's the bottom. That's the truth that holds everything else up. And Jeremiah says that to the people, that God promises to heal them and the whole world from the inside out. God will change not just their outward circumstances, but their hearts. The old covenant, the tablets, the program that was given to Moses gives way as God tattoos love on the people's hearts. Jeremiah recognizes, though, that there is some deep stuff within us that resists loving God and loving our neighbors. And whether it's elected officials who fail to watch over our children in love, or me and the other parents that are trying to figure out how do we accompany our kids as they figure out how to love each other, how to not bully each other. It's a both and. It's not a one-size-fits-all answer, but we've got to figure out some of these answers together. And so God writes that on our hearts to love one another en route to recovery and to rehab. God says, I'll put my law, my ways, my teachings within you. Write them on your hearts. Pastor and poet Steve Garnes Holmes says it beautifully in poetry. Write your love on my heart, God of love. Write it in your own hand. Make your love my heartbeat, my instinct, my brainwave, my breath. Soften the stone of my heart and sculpt it with love. Inscribe your ways on my bones, your love in my heart of hearts. Write your love on my heart, love, and seal it with kiss. Jeremiah continues that no longer shall the people teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know God, from the least to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. So in response to the failure of the people of God to love one another and to love God, God just refuses to recognize that. In response to the lack of faith by the people of God, God calls them absolutely faithful. Like, that equation doesn't make sense in our world, and yet that is God's way of being. In response to the ways that they're entangled in sin and in brokenness, God just forgets. Forgets not just for the greatest, not just for the ones who are doing good and getting it figured out, not even just for the least. God forgets and forgives and loves all of them and writes that love on all of their hearts. Again, God echoes, all means all. And in the Christian church, we call that grace. And that grace is written on all of our hearts this day. God sees that we're entangled in violence and harm and says, I love you. I'm writing that on the bottom of your heart, that you might love each other and God ever more deeply today than you did yesterday and tomorrow than today. So may God write that on our hearts, bypassing our best intentions, our complicity, and the sometimes blatant ways that we do harm. See, in this, God just says, enough. And it's multivalent. Enough. Enough with the brokenness. And you're enough. Enough right now, beloved. See, that day is on its way. And it couldn't wait. It's coming whether we're ready or not. God is softening the stone hearts that we have and sculpting them in love. P. picking up whatever shattered pieces your heart might be in and creating a mosaic. In the Christian church, we see the fullness of that in Jesus, in this holy human being who was set on earth to show us how to love one another and how to move toward rehab together as a community. In Jeremiah's day, the promise was very specific about restoring a land and a people. And the promise for both of those interventions are unique and always already moving. The day, the prophet Jeremiah says, is on its way. It's at hand, but not in hand. Do you see the difference in that? The day is at hand, right before us, but it's not in our control. And maybe your heart felt that truth, that the promise of God's love in our lives is real, and so is the brokenness in which we find ourselves, and it's out of the mess of that shadow of the cross that God is creating a new way. And maybe your heart felt that just a little bit this week as we witnessed kids call us to rise up across the country. Or maybe your heart felt it as you walk through whatever struggle you're in this day. I don't have to tell you that the promise is not yet fully realized. That's the truth of our Christian story as well. We are deep in the wilderness right now in this fifth Sunday of Lent. And perhaps we're more ready than we've ever been to come out the wilderness. We know that there must be more. God's already and not yet promise meets us in the depth of that very place. And God inscribes our hearts with love. Tattoos are painful. And so I wonder if we're in a moment as a people right now where we're being tattooed once again by God's love. And that's a painful reminder of both a past and then also a promise of what lies ahead. So as we journey toward the cross together and long for communal uprising, may the promise of God from long ago be ours this day, that the day is on its way, 30 chapters of brokenness and hurt. And the promise is rising. Ready or not, here it comes. Ready or not, here it comes. Amen.
Oh, are we trees rising to the heavens? Oh, are we flowers unfettered by the thorn? Oh, are we pillars of a great eternity? Are we not one? Oh Lord, are we not yours? Have we not joy in the midst of every shadow?
Have we not hope
in the deepest of the dark?
Have we not peace
that passes understanding?